Roland was a warrior from the land of the midnight sun, with a Thompson gun for hire, fighting to be done. The deal was made in Denmark on a dark and stormy day, so he set out for Biafra to join the bloody fray. Roland the Thompson Gunner.
Hey everybody, Bob Main here. Welcome to another episode of today's Survival Show. Keeping things practical, if you're kind of new, I just want you to know that I like to talk about doing what you can with what you have wherever you are and keeping things practical. I don't like to go tin foil hat on you. I try not to engage in a lot of wacky, far-out thinking. This episode, I'm going to talk about some stuff that might not be real positive, but I'm trying not to get real wacky on you. Every once in a while, I think we have to take a look at the facts. We have to take a look at reality. And so this is about a generational storm. This is survival tip number one of this week. As you know, my new format of the show here, I like to give you two survival tips that are relatively short but concise and hard-hitting and get you to think about and act and give you some nuggets and pearls of wisdom in each show. So there's a generational storm going on right now, and I'll explain what I'm talking about, but I'm going to explain how it impacts you, too, and how it impacts you in your life. And as I drive down the road here, as I often do, I do this show from my studio on wheels here, driving my vehicle from one appointment to another because I'm in sales. That's my profession. But I like to talk about preparedness because it's the lifestyle that I live and share it with you on this show. A couple of announcements real quick. I'm not going to take up a lot of time. The website is todayssurvival.com. That's todayssurvival.com with two S's. My email address is bob@todayssurvival.com. bob@todayssurvival.com. That's right, yeah. Sorry there, had a little bit of a brain fade. And please remember to join our forum. There's a link on the website at Today's Survival. And then don't forget about the Survival Champions Club. If you want to help out support my show, help keep things going, and help me offset some of the costs, the Survival Champions Club enables you to do that, and you get a good customized podcast for you that I've never covered on this show. Check that out. All right, what do I mean by a generational storm? Well, first of all, let's take a look at what's called unfunded entitlements that's going on right now in the United States. A big, big financial problem. One that's not talked about enough, and I did cover this several months ago, but I'm going to cover it again and get a little bit more detailed. I want you to know this is not a political show. I try very, very hard not to turn today's survival show into a politically charged show. Because, you know, my attitude is I don't consider myself a libertarian or anything like that. I consider myself a conservative, but I'm not going to slant this towards conservatism. What I am going to do is I'm going to slant this towards personal responsibility. Because, after all, isn't that what this is all about? And I'm going to talk to you about some of the consequences of the lack of personal responsibility. If you have young people in your life that you are trying to get more into preparedness, maybe this show will motivate you to do that. Maybe this show will give you some ideas and things. It might not be the kind of show that's going to convince a young person to get more involved in preparedness this week, but hopefully I can give you, the adult, or you, the parent, or you, the grandparent, some ideas to kind of get you going and get more people into personal responsibility. Let's talk about the highest form of governance. All right, I'm going to say that again. The highest form of governance. A lot of people think that one political spectrum is higher than the other. All right, you've got different ideas. You have different ideology. Some are right, some are left, some are in between. And for purposes of naming names, let's go ahead and name them. Some are Republicans, some are Democrats, some are Libertarians, some are Independents. And they all think that theirs is the highest form of governance. Well, I disagree with all four of those. Because those that I mentioned are really political affiliations, are they not? Republicans, Democrats, Independents, Libertarian. That's typically when somebody fills out a voter card, if you're in a state that makes you declare a party. When you fill out a voter registration card, you declare a political affiliation. Some states don't require you to, but in states where you do, have to fill that out. You choose one: Republican, Democrat, Independent, Libertarian. And in a sense, I think when you do that, you are committing to the fact that you believe that that's the highest form of governance. In your opinion, you believe that that's the best form of governance. I disagree with all four of those. I believe that self-governance is the highest form of governance. Self-governance, self-responsibility. You see, I'm going to talk about the United States for a minute here. I know I have international listeners, but let me go ahead and talk about the United States anyway. For you international listeners, I apologize, but maybe you might get something out of this as to how the United States was set up. And I think this may apply to you anyway if you're tuning in from a different country. These United States were set up on a self-governance basis. And the problem is once people choose not to self-govern anymore, then all of a sudden they get overrun by a political system. I'll say that again. When people make the conscious choice not to self-govern, they get overrun by a political machine, by a political system. And that's what we have. And I'm picking on all political systems right now. I'm not just picking on one or two or just a couple of them that I think need to be picked on. The problem is that once people decide, or once people realize that they can vote for themselves assistance from the government just by going to the voting booth and voting for a particular people or set of people, once they realize that they can do that, that's when a republic begins to die. And you've heard that before. And I think that's exactly the situation we find ourselves in, because people have refused to self-govern, because people have realized that, hey, you know what, maybe the government can give me something. And here's what happens. When disaster strikes, they look for the government for help, or they look to the government for help. When something goes wrong, when they lose their job, they say, government, help me. When a natural disaster comes through their region, like a hurricane, like we've had an earthquake in Virginia recently, okay? And a hurricane, as I speak right now, a hurricane is barreling towards North Carolina. Now, that was last week, because by the time you hear this, it's going to be next Tuesday. So, you know, are there any more reasons to prepare? But the problem is these natural disasters come through and people say, hey, government, help me. Hey, FEMA, please help me. And it doesn't work that way, folks. And that's the problem, is that now when people make that conscious choice, they have kicked self-governance to the curb and they said, I'm not going to be responsible for myself anymore. And I'm going to ask government, I'm going to ask this political machine to help me. And that's when you get overridden. And that is serious oppression, folks. It's serious oppression. And so we have a generational storm going on right now. What I mean by that is that we have a situation now where we have fewer young people than there used to be. And I'm making a point with this, and I'm going somewhere with it. And I'll bear with me here. Let me give you some statistics, first of all, some Census Bureau statistics from the 2010 census. And I'll put a link. There's a good article that's been put out by the USA Today, but it's also quoting census data from the 2010 census that you need to read. You need to read this after you get done listening to this podcast, so I'll post a link to it. But we have fewer children, and the fewer children that we have are being taught, oh man, they're being taught principles that are just not very good. And I'm going to go ahead and talk about that a little bit later. But here, let's examine some things right now. There are now more households with dogs than there are households with children. Can you believe that? There's about 43 million households with pets, and they're raising about 1.9 pets per household. And there are more households in the United States with dogs than there are with children. That wasn't the case 30 to 40 years ago. Okay, children make up 24% of the United States population. It was 25.7% 10 years ago. Now, you might say, well, that's only a decline of 1.7%, Bob. And that's quite a bit when you think about the total population of the United States. Now, what are the consequences of this? Well, I know we're not supposed to be dependent on local services, but think about it. in an area, and this is happening both in rural areas and in suburban areas, in an area where there's fewer children, and it starts to trend that way for several years and there's fewer kids, well, what happens is this private enterprise that caters to kids and that caters to services for people with children begin to leave that area. And typically what we find demographically is that when an area typically has more kids, more young people, generally, not in all cases, but generally you have a higher level of local services, you have a higher level of social services, you have a higher level of educational services. Why? Because you've got more kids in the area. You've got families that have needs. And so you have schools and you have private businesses in the area that pop up and they become successful providing services for families and for children's. For children's. Yeah, slip of the tongue there. For kids. And so the reason we have this generational storm is basically for two reasons. First of all is neglect. What we have is we have one generation that has neglected to teach the other generation, the younger generation, about personal responsibility. We have taught our kids that if your marriage is not working out, just go ahead and end it in divorce. We've taught them that if you can cheat and get away with it, it's okay, just do it. We've also taught them that if keeping your word is difficult, well then just go ahead and break it. And you see, these principles of perpetuating personal responsibility, I think, is one of the hallmarks of survival, don't you? Now, the second reason that we have this generational storm going on, it has to do with needs. What we've taught our kids about needs, what one generation has taught the other about needs. Now, if you're listening to this show, you probably have a little bit different outlook on personal responsibility than the average person does. By the very nature of you tuning into this program, you're taking on more responsibility, but are you teaching it to the younger people? You know, because we have this shrinking population of younger people, I think that what we need to do is we need to teach them. And I think perpetuating survivalism is part of being a good survivalist. I'll say that again. I think perpetuating survivalism is part of being a good survivalist. There's a lot of people, including me, that say, hey, you know what? I'm this way because this is what my parents taught me. And I'm that way too. I get into this stuff, I get into preparedness, I get into survivalism because my parents taught me the self-sufficient lifestyle. So one generation has taught the other generation that if you need something, you just simply go to the government and get it. You ask somebody and they will give it to you. If you ask enough people, someone's going to give it to you. Right? The squeaky wheel gets the grease. If you cry loud enough, if you raise enough of a ruckus, if you make enough noise about your needs, somebody's going to give it to you, rather than teaching them how to go out and work for it, how to go out and develop it, how to get creativity going in their minds to figure out a way to solve the need and to fulfill their need. Rather, we've taught them just go out and cry loud enough and you're going to get it. And if you really think about it, if you just, seriously, I mean, I might be talking about things that you don't want to hear. I'm sorry about that. But if you really think about it, there's a lot of people like that. And people are waking up a little bit, but I think that's one of the reasons why we have so many sheep out there right now. They can't help it. They were just taught to be sheep. You know, a lot of people tend to complain a lot about what political administrations and governments do. Whether you're right or whether you're left or whether you're somewhere in between, people tend to complain. Oh, they're just not doing what they're supposed to do. But rarely do people blame themselves for what's going on in their government. See, let me clarify. The people in government power are only there because you put them there. And tying this into the fact that one generation has neglected to teach the other generation about how to address needs, when that generation that was not taught how to address needs, when they petitioned the government for their needs, then they begin to complain if they don't get what they want. But rarely do we see people pointing the finger at themselves. We have the government we have because you put them there. Do you understand that? And you might say, well, I didn't vote for so-and-so. Well, no, you didn't vote for so-and-so, but a whole lot of other people did. And a lot of it is because they were taught that, again, all they have to do is vote for the person that promises them whatever it is that they want. And it works both ways. You have some people that have the ideology that say, oh, well, we need to vote for all conservatives because that's the way it should be. And then you have another that says we ought to just vote for all liberals because that's the way it should be. But what they're doing is they're pointing the finger and saying, well, the other side is wrong. And if we had it our way, if we had the politicians that agree with us in power, well, then things would be a lot better. It doesn't work that way, folks. It starts with you. And so what I want to emphasize in this podcast is living by example and trying to calm that generational storm by working with your kids. I've noticed working with my son, my 13-year-old son, on preparedness, all facets of preparedness, I found that I learn a lot. It helps to teach me. And it also helps to expose my own shortcomings. Now, here's something that you might not care for too much. Once you start to work with young people to try to calm that generational storm, it can point out your own weaknesses. So you better be ready. You better be ready, because if you're not, it's going to start to point out some of your own weaknesses. And one of the things that I fear is then people will quit. They'll say, well, I'm not going to do this anymore. And it's a subconscious decision that they make, but they'll just decide to quit and not do it because it's showing them what their weaknesses are. Don't quit. So if you take one thing away from this podcast, is it's work with a young person. Work with a young person somewhere about personal responsibility, about the power of personal responsibility. Just pick one area. I don't know the people that you're thinking about working with, because there's simply no way for me to know everything like that, but you'll be able to figure it out. You'll be able to figure out what their hot button is. And whatever their hot button is, seize on that. And especially if it's a need, that they have, teach them how to satisfy that need on their own. You don't have to say that it's about survival or it's about preparedness. You don't have to use those words if you don't want, because for some young people out there, it could be a turnoff. Just tell them that you want to help them out. But come to them and teach them from a perspective of doing it for themselves. Doing what they can with what they have, wherever they happen to be at that time. All right, a good example. Let me give you a personal example. And then I'll go ahead and I'll close the show. Several years ago, my son was going through a stage where he was getting bullied a lot in school. The bullies were picking on him. It was really cutting down his self-esteem, and we actually had a lot of emotional problems with him. He had a lot of emotional problems, excuse me. That's what I meant to say. So the bullying just was not stopping, and I asked him, how would it feel, how would he like it, if he wasn't bullied anymore? And of course, yeah, his eyes lit up, and he was all for that. And so I told him that what I wanted to do was show him a way where he could learn some things to keep the kids from bullying him and to keep the kids off of his back. And so we talked about martial arts, and I decided to introduce him to martial arts. And so I found a mixed martial arts school nearby where we live, and for the last almost five years now, excuse me, you can hear my GPS yak, and I'm almost at my next stop, which means it's going to be pretty a convenient time for me to go ahead and stop the podcast pretty soon, but let me finish the story. So for almost 5 years now, he has been training in mixed martial arts. And we just left his school in Dallas. He earned the top level. That was an MMA school that gave out belts to kids. Most MMA schools don't give out belts. This one happened to give out belts to the kids, to those up to ages 12. And so he got his black belt from that school. Well, now he's in the adult MMA classes here in San Antonio at Rodrigo Pinheiro Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. So he's doing Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu right now. And he's also doing Muay Thai kickboxing. So he's taking Muay Thai kickboxing from a UFC fighter. He's training under a UFC fighter. And he's also getting Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu training from world champion Rodrigo Pinheiro in San Antonio. And you know what? The bullying has stopped. He hasn't been bullied in a couple of years. That confidence that the martial arts has given him, the confidence to be able to handle the situation. Now, he's not the kick-butt type, okay? I wanted to use another word there, but I'm trying to keep this family-friendly show. He's not the kick butt type of a kid. He will use his skills if he has to, but he's not out looking for a fight. But what this did is it gave him the confidence. The martial arts gave him the confidence that he didn't have to take the bullying anymore. And instead of me teaching him to go to the school for help, which he probably wasn't going to get, he's probably not going to get any help from the school on bullying. I know they have a no bullying policy and a zero tolerance, but that's baloney. All right? That's baloney. I mean, they're not going to do anything about it. On paper, they could have a zero tolerance policy, but they're not going to do anything about it. They're not going to do anything effective. And besides that, having the school take care of the bullying kids is not going to teach my son anything. All it does is teach him to go to somebody else, to go to authorities for help. It doesn't teach him any personal responsibility at all. So I think my goal's been achieved, and now he absolutely loves it. He just totally loves martial arts. You know, he says he wants to continue to train indefinitely, which I'm thrilled. I'm thrilled that he wants to continue to train indefinitely because it's teaching him to take some matters into his own hands. Not everything. We can't solve every problem on our own. I understand that. Okay, my belief is that there is a higher power that helps solve many of our problems, but we also have to take some responsibility, folks. We have to take some things. We cannot be going to the government for everything. We cannot let the government and the political machine overrun us because, as I mentioned earlier in the podcast, if we do fail in the self-governance, then we will believe and we'll bow down to a political form of government that in the end is going to screw you, folks. They are. That's just the way it is. I hope you'll agree with me on that. And so, this seems to be, since I'm getting pretty close to my next stop here, seems to be a good place for me to kind of wrap up this show. Now, there'll be more on this. I've got more in survival tip number 2 of this week, and then I got a different topic planned for you in that one as well. So, I hope you enjoyed survival tip number 1. Of this week, episode 152. My name is Bob Main. Thanks for listening. And do what you can with what you have, wherever you are. Take care, folks. I'll catch you in a couple days. Goodbye.
I don't know what to say, really. 3 minutes to the biggest battle of our professional lives. All comes down to today. Either we heal as a team, or we're going to crumble. Inch by inch, play by play, till we're finished. We're in hell right now, gentlemen. Believe me. And we can stay here, get the shit kicked out of us, or we can fight our way back into the light. We can climb out of hell. 1 inch at a time. Now, I can't do it for you. I'm too old. I look around, I see these young faces, and I think, I mean, I made every wrong choice a middle-aged man can make. I pissed away all my money, believe it or not. I chased off anyone who's ever loved me. And lately, I can't even stand the face I see in the mirror. You know, when you get old in life, things get taken from you. I mean, that's part of life. But you only learn that when you start losing stuff. You find out life's this game of inches. So is football. Because in either game, life or football, the margin for error is so small. I mean, one half a step too late or too early, and you don't quite make it. One half second too slow, too fast, you don't quite catch it. The inches we need are everywhere around us. They're in every break of the game, every minute, every second. On this team, we fight for that inch. On this team, we tear ourselves and everyone else around us to pieces for that inch. We claw with our fingernails for that inch. Because we know when we add up all those inches, that's going to make the fucking difference between winning and losing. Between living and dying. I'll tell you this, in any fight, it's the guy who's willing to die who's going to win that itch. And I know if I'm going to have any life anymore, it's because I'm still willing to fight and die for that itch. Because that's what living is. The 6 inches in front of your face. Now, I can't make you do it. You got to look at the guy next to you. Look into his eyes. Now, I think you're going to see a guy who will go that inch with you. You're going to see a guy who will sacrifice himself for this team because he knows when it comes down to it, you're going to do the same for him. That's the team, gentlemen. And either we heal now as a team, or we will die as individuals. That's football, guys. That's all it is. Now, what are you gonna do?